As I come to the end of this course focused on online course facilitation, I can't help but look back at the post I wrote at the beginning to consider what I've learned and see if my perspective on any of those topics has changed. In that initial post, I covered three topics. First, what are the three most critical elements of online course facilitation? Second, what are two questions about course facilitation in an online learning environment I would like answered? And third, I described a photo that I found, which I thought represented the philosophy of effective online course facilitation. Let's revisit those topics now. Three initial thoughts. In the original post, I described the importance of course design, teaching presence, and the educator's social presence. I don't think my position on those elements has changed, but I do think my understanding of them has matured. How does an educator build an environment to meet the needs of all students in a course? All of my experience teaching has been in a media program. As a result, the students I've been exposed to all have relatively advanced technical prowess and adapt well to a digital environment. Recently, however, I've had time to work in a new position that exposed me to learners with a great deal more variation in technical skill. This has been an eye-opening experience and has changed my perspective on course design. The educator cannot assume that students will be able to navigate a course with ease, jumping from content to the gradebook, then to a synchronous session with clear and unambiguous design. Even the most seemingly simple design element needs to be evaluated with a beginner's mind. This is a difficult task and one that requires practice and exposure to learners who struggle in these environments. So, my position on the importance of course design is more firmly set than ever. Teaching presence is also a critical element of online course facilitation. In this context, I'm referring to how learners are made to understand that their instructor is available, willing, and capable of providing assistance when the need arises. This is a position that the instructor can only achieve by proving in practice through the demonstration of those qualities. This can be developed partially through course design, the setting of clear response time expectations, and the inclusion of content produced from the educator's perspective, but at the end of the day, when learners need help, the educator must be there to provide it. Finally, the instructor's social presence is of critical importance. Learners need to feel like they have a personal connection with the instructor, that they recognize that this is a real person with real human experience, passions, and a life of their own. This can be accomplished through the inclusion of personal touches from the educator, peppered through the course material both in asynchronous and synchronous content alike. The inclusion of humor is vital to developing a human environment, lightening the mood, and reducing stress. It also sets the tone for the course and encourages learners to share a piece of themselves in similar fashion, which in turn acts as a catalyst for the development of a strong learning community. Two questions. Of the two questions I asked in my initial post, one I've come closer to answering, the other, not so much. The one I understand a little better is the one concerning how an educator should know when to reach out to a learner and check on them to assess their need for assistance. Now, having given this some thought, I've come to the conclusion that you won't know. The conclusion that I've drawn was partially informed by my experience teaching sales. In sales, I frequently tell my students that you should never assume you know why a particular prospective client isn't communicating with you. We have a tendency to think the worst. They're not interested, they're tired of hearing from me, they've chosen my competitor. The truth is, though, you have no idea why they're not reaching out, so you should continue to until told otherwise. I think this is equally true for an educator trying to glean why a particular student might not be engaging in a course. You can study all the analytics you want, but you can never know why they're not engaging unless you ask. My group and I, including Kristen Beebe, Jean-Pierre Joubert, and Sandra Norum, facilitated a learning module during this course and noticed three learners who were not engaging. When we reached out to them to offer a helping hand, we got back three entirely different explanations as to why they weren't participating. The takeaway for me is that we can use the analytics to identify learners who may benefit from direct communication, but to reserve judgment on why until we've had an opportunity to speak to those people and hear it from their own perspective. Only then can we intervene, if appropriate, to offer assistance. The second question, which explored how an educator can facilitate an ideal online course, without the mountain of responsibilities consuming their life, remains a mystery. I have a tendency to attribute a high degree of value to most elements of course design and presence, and so I find myself dedicating a significant amount of time to facilitating my courses. This continues to be true. I still need to learn to prioritize the work and focus my attention on those elements that are critically important, and be more comfortable relaxing on those that are not. This is a challenge I'm going to have to continue to work on. One analogy. I'm still quite partial to the image at the top of this post. I continue to appreciate the focus on the learner. I like that the learner has his hands on the knowledge he's acquiring, and the mentor is in the background, attentive and ready to assist, but far enough away as to not impede on the experience. It's a delicate balance. I also love woodworking, and the idea of a young person getting covered in sawdust brings me joy.